Today, we take 30 minutes to recognize individuals and organizations who have made significant contributions in creating greater opportunities for blind people. We do this because of a pioneer whose name is not as familiar as those we honor in our literature, at our national headquarters building, and in our traditional named awards. The story of Jacob Balaton is a testament to so much we have hoped, believed, said to ourselves, and said to the general public. Dr. Balaton's biography is what happens when an unswervingly positive attitude, good training, and hard-won opportunity come together in the heart of a human being who doesn't know the meaning of the word no. When Jacob came into the world, education for blind youngsters was still a relatively new concept in America, more a matter of academic curiosity than a system to make the blind ready to compete in a receptive world. There were no nationally known blind men or women. Helen Keller was still a spoiled and pitiable child, waiting for the magic linkage of signs, letters, words, and ideas which would propel her to national prominence. Young Jacob was initially refused entrance into his local public school and found a quality education at the Illinois School for the Blind. School for this young man was pretty much what one would expect of a future doctor. Good grades, strong leadership, community involvement, many friends, and valedictorian of his class. Had he not been a century too early, or we a century too late, he might well have been in competition for a $12,000 scholarship, don't you think? While Jacob could garner all the accolades a school for the blind had to offer, the year was 1903, and the blind did not work in the trades and common callings of America. There was no vocational rehabilitation for the blind, so any education beyond high school had to come from his own industry and labor. To save for this and provide what he could for his impoverished family, Jacob traveled independently through Chicago, selling matches, brushes, and typewriters. Later, he convinced the skeptical owner of the typewriter company to place him in charge of sales for three states. And in just over 4 years, he had what he thought would be enough money to see him through his medical education. The challenges this young blind man had to surmount in getting admitted to medical school, creating the techniques he would need in order to learn, graduate, and practice, his struggle to be certified as a doctor, to start his own practice, and then to work in an established medical facility would take far more time to detail than we have here today. But any one of these would be worthy of our recognition, and when taken together, certainly Jacob Balaton is deserving of the program which has been instituted to honor his memory and his example. I'm going to ask Marcia Dyer to describe the awards we'll be presenting today. Marcia?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There we are. The award is situated on a 4-inch square wooden base. The wood itself looks to me like it is cherry. There is a thin bronze plaque that reads presented to and the name of the recipient by the National Federation of the Blind and the Santa Barbara Foundation, July 2008. Now on top of this wood base, and the base itself is 2 inches high. Sitting on top of the base is a hollow circle bronze figurine, I should say, and it's hollow inside, and it's very thin, And inside of the hollow circle is the award medallion itself. And it is connected to this outside circle by two bronze pins, one sitting on the top and one sitting on the bottom, which allows the inside medallion to freely turn around so that you can look at both sides of the medallion without having the base remain stationary. Now the medallion, the writing on the medallion is all embossed, and the one side reads Dr. Jacob Balaton on the top, and in the middle of the medallion is the embossed bust of Dr. Balaton. And to the right of that, it reads 1888 to 1924. Underneath the bust is embossed the words celebrating his life, the Alfred and Rosalind Perlman Trust. And if I turn the bust, the metal medallion around, it reads on the top, the Dr. Jacob Balaton Award. And on the bottom, it says celebrating achievement, creating opportunity. Inside the middle of this second side is our NFB logo, the picture of Who's It, and he is standing on the letters NFB, and underneath that is National Federation of the Blind. It is an extremely beautiful award.
And that was a very good impromptu audio description, too. Thank you very much. Let me now present to you the modern-day soldiers in the fight so dear to Dr. Jacob Balaton and the National Federation of the Blind. What does it mean to have a fully usable textbook? Many of us in this audience have settled for a tape recording and have considered ourselves lucky to get it. But there is much more to the successful use of an educational text than listening to it page by page, front to back. Our first recipient has long understood and dedicated a major part of his life's work to delivering one message: access to information is a fundamental human right. We need more than the ability to hear the words. We need spelling, punctuation, and the ability to navigate. When the book says, more information can be found on page 632, blind people need to be able to jump to that page. When a sentence contains a footnote, the reader needs to be able to jump to or ignore that footnote. Through this winter's work in developing and presenting for the implementation of the DAISY standard, we now have the structure for making this navigation possible. And with it comes the ability to match what the sighted now have with hard copy print and their own electronic book readers. For this life-changing work, we proudly present an award in the amount of $30,000 to Mr. George Kircher. Certainly may.
Okay, where's our mic here?
You got it.
Okay.
You are on.
I'm deeply honored and humbled to be given this award. Indeed, access to information is a fundamental human right. I said that at the United Nations in Bangkok in 2002. And the United Nations this year, we heard William Rowland say, passed the Convention on Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And the DAISY Consortium was involved with the World Blind Union and other disability groups to help get that passed. So now it's ratified, and nations will need to enact laws that require compliance to that United Nations Convention. We have technology that is really terrific. We have some laws that require publishers to provide information. I think we also need financial incentives for publishers. We heard that 300,000 books are published each year in the United States alone, and I calculate still that 5% is about where we're at, getting access to 5% of the published books. But we can solve that problem. And I'm here to tell you that I will tirelessly work until we can solve that problem. In Ray Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines, he said it was sometime around this period or the next 5 years when he predicted that all information, all published books, would be converted into a digital form that people can read who are blind. We're going to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Congratulations, George. What is the formula for success if one is blind? While there will be minor differences from person to person, all of us must develop two things: a positive can-do attitude, which places blindness in proper perspective, and the skills necessary to function in the world without vision. Blindness as tragedy or blindness as nuisance, it all depends on training. And there is no better training in the country than that which is provided by the centers of the National Federation of the Blind. In recognition of the vital role they play, not only in the lives of those they serve directly, but in the tangible example they bring to the field, we proudly award the training centers of the National Federation of the Blind $30,000. And to accept, we call upon the directors of the three centers for their remarks. Please welcome Pam Allen, Julie Deedon, and Sean Mayo.
Hold on, this is, yeah, we're gonna give you, yeah. Julie?
To take this opportunity to honor and recognize our founders,
Joanne Wilson, Louisiana Center for the Blind,
Diane McGeorge, Colorado Center for the Blind,
and Joyce Scanlon, Blind Incorporated.
We would also like to thank our staff and students. Said 2 years ago, the secret to our success is you, the National Federation of the Blind.
Thank you.
Well, all right. When the recipient of our next award stumbled on a new threat to the independence of the blind, she had enough life experience and common sense to sound the alarm and call us to action. The problem was cars too quiet to hear. What was at stake was nothing less than the right of the blind to travel safely and independently. But admitting the problem brought a whole host of others. First was the need for our recipient to reconcile herself to the changing reality that training, while of prime importance, would not eliminate the need to ask others for change. If our recipient and the National Federation of the Blind found this premise sound, then we would, of necessity, have to educate the auto industry of America and the world to the problems caused by silent vehicles, and eventually take this message to regulators and lawmakers concerned with public safety. Consider, if you will, the public relations challenge in offering anything but for praise to technologies which have been designed to save fuel, reduce pollution, and generate less noise. Knowing full well the immensity of this challenge, our recipient did not run from, but embraced one of the most monumental challenges the Federation has undertaken in this century. She has accepted the chairmanship of the Committee on Automobile and Pedestrian Safety, started a campaign of research and education both within and outside the Federation, made contacts nationally and internationally, and spearheaded a public relations campaign which has resulted in spectacularly good coverage of a tremendously complicated public issue. It is with immense respect and tremendous pleasure that we present an award in the amount of $10,000 to Debbie Kent Stein. Well, there you go. Here's your award.
Thank you.
Would you like to say a few words?
Yes, I should.
Yeah, I think you should. Yeah.
It's hard to know what to say. I'm astonished and very, very honored and proud. And I grew up at a time when blind children were not taught to travel independently. And blind teens were not taught to travel independently. And I did not get a cane in my hand really until the summer before I was ready to go off to college. So all through those formative years when I should have been stretching my wings and exploring and learning how to be on my own, I was getting led around by my friends and family, even though I was a teenager eager to discover the world. When I got a cane in my hands, I discovered the joy and liberation of independence, of independent travel, and the fact that I could cross the street and could go where I wanted to go, could come and go at will, was something that I learned to treasure and cherish, and something that I think is the birthright to all of us. And I think that when I discovered the threat that these new silent cars could become to our independence, I felt that something had to be done and that I couldn't let go until we found a way to deal with that. So it's with all of you and for all of you that I pledge to continue the work until we find a solution to this new threat to our independence. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, please stay on the stage. As so many of us are painfully aware, leading a well-rounded life not only means expanding one's mind, but also exercising one's body. swimming is likely the best exercise a human can do. And for blind people, this is one sport in which we can be very athletically competitive. Still, there are many distractions for the blind swimmer focused on putting all of his or her energy into the competition. How does one stay in the lane, steer clear of other swimmers, and most critically, avoid hitting the concrete wall at the end of the pool? To solve these problems, a team from Notre Dame, composed of engineers in industrial design, swimming coaches, students, and blind athletes, have set their minds to the task of inventing a solution. A device which can be moved from pool to pool, involves no need for continuous monitoring by sighted tappers at the pool's walls, and is affordable for individuals and institutions alike. This award is to applaud and support these efforts, and it is with pride that we grant the AdaptTap team $10,000 for their innovative work and call on Dr. Paul Downs and his team to accept this award. Say a word.
Okay. President Maurer, Chairperson Wunder, hosts, planners, constituents, and attendees of the NFB conference here in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. This is my first time here. I extend warm greetings and deep gratitude from the students, faculty, alumni, and friends of the University of Notre Dame. There are two ironies that I've observed while attending this convention. One is that vision is not limited to those with sight. Here, vision enables and creates possibilities. Belief and pursuit of human vision extends opportunities and expands possibilities for each of us, while collectively encouraging and enabling all who watch our successes. The second irony is that Independence Day has a new meaning for me. A meaning that transcends this national holiday. Today, Independence Day might also be commemorating the human spirit and drive toward leveling the opportunities for all people. Through the perseverance and applications of available resources, all can achieve personal independence and contribute value in a society that collectively recognizes, supports, and embraces the potentials of all people. I'm proud to be a small part of the NFB's March to Independence. These spirits of vision and independence are both reflected and understood in the record of a man that is respectfully remembered by this award, Dr. Jacob Blotin, the blind doctor. I encourage all listening and learning of the perseverance and contributions of this great American. His example has deeply inspired me, and it is appropriate that we remember him on this day. Now, please allow me to recognize my team members that were instrumental in developing AdaptTap, a unique system that was born of vision and a system that affords greater independence to the deserving community that's presented here before us today. The collaborative venture that has resulted in our being here originated in the midst of cross-disciplinary research at the University of Notre Dame. Not all could be here today. However, the ones that are here are representative of that group. Irish aquatics coach, Annie Suwecki. Yeah. Annie has been a strong spirit of moving us forward and keeping us connected with the needs of the blind community. Industrial design graduates in Notre Dame's Department of Art, Art History, and Design have been critical in developing concepts and applying models and test vehicles for identifying solutions that would be truly valuable to a blind community. Those two graduate students are Fernando Carvalho and Kyle Walters. very importantly, NFB members of our Notre Dame and surrounding community that have tested, evaluated, and proven the AdaptHAP system include James Fetter, Ashley Nashlinas, Lori Miller, and Kane Brolin. AdaptHAP is a system that empowers the sight-impaired swimmer to enjoy the water independently, more efficiently, and without fear of poolside collisions. NFB member James Fetter has already demonstrated that AdaptHAP can allow an athletic blind swimmer to competitively outperform sighted swimmers without any poolside assistance. We believe the confidence inspired by using AdaptHAP in a pool setting will improve training effectiveness of sighted swimmers and enable sight-impaired swimmers at all ages and skill levels, allowing them to freely enjoy the recreational and health benefits of swimming. Within the past 2 months, Kiefer and Associates, an international swimwear and swim accessory supplier, has added AdaptHAP to their production line. We look forward to the continued development and broad economical availability of this product through Kiefer. Again, thank you for this opportunity and this great honor. I'm humbled by all that I've experienced here in Dallas. My colleagues and associates look forward to a long and productive future that places industrial design and product development in the service of the fine people of the NFB. Now, good afternoon, and of course, go Irish.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You take care.
Not so long ago, new books available to the blind numbered less than 400 a year. The thought that we might have a book to read and discuss at the same time it was a hot topic in the lunchroom was only a dream. Our next recipient has been a pioneer both in technology and in the provision of service. He helped bring an affordable scanning and reading system to the blind, and then figured out a way we could share the fruits of our scans with other blind people. No one in this audience has any doubt that the recipient of our next award in the amount of $5,000 is the pioneer who founded and headed Arkenstone, Benetech, and the program so many of us love and use extensively, Bookshare. For all he has done to open so many books for our education and reading pleasure, we are proud to present a Dr. Jacob Balaton Award to our friend, Jim Fruchterman.
Okay. So, I wanted to thank the NFB for acknowledging Bookshare.org with the Jacob Balaton Award. The goal of Benetech and Bookshare is to see that blind people receive the full benefits of the technology that the technology community is inventing. The measure of success of a technologist, of a toolmaker, is not in the tool itself. It's what people do with our tools. Bookshare is a great example of that. It's the first library for the blind that is by the blind and enables blind people to make the choices of what books get added to the library. More than 95% of our books are there because someone in this community decided it was worth sharing with somebody else. And the majority of our volunteers are blind people. So now we have more than 39,000 books, thanks to not us at Bookshare, but to the entire community of people who are scanning books and believing that literacy is that important. Thank you. Of course, many of you know that Bookshare is now free to every blind student in the United States of America, and we're very proud to see that literacy option go there. Just imagine, 150 daily newspapers, thanks to our partnership with NFB Newsline, available in Braille to Braille display users, and over 30,000 books available for Braille literacy. In the next 5 years, we're going to add more than 100,000 books to our collection. So just imagine, if you're a Braille display user, that we are going to make it possible that you will have more books available to you than you will ever be able to read in your entire lifetime. We think that's a great start. And we will not rest until we see every blind person in the world with access to every newspaper, every book, assistive technology that's either free or an affordable cost, and we call that raising the floor for blind people around the world with technology and content. Thank you to the National Federation of the Blind for this award and working with us in realizing that vision.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
That was Kazan.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Our next winner spent a summer as an intern working in a planetarium. One day, as a group of blind people exited from their tour, she asked how they liked the experience. And the uncomfortable but honest response was, yuck. Now, she might have left the matter there with the old saw, you can't please all of the people all of the time. Might have rationalized that those blind people just weren't grateful for anything. But instead, she took a trip to the Perkins School for the Blind to see what tools were available for blind people interested in astronomy. What she found was a few books in print and Braille, but none of them had pictures to tactilely express the true majesty of the universe. Almost immediately, she started etching plastic pages by hand. And now, after 20 years, has to her credit 5 accessible astronomy books with tactile drawings as well as Braille and print text. Our winner has presented workshops for children and adults at state and national conventions, and it is for her work and for her belief in the ability of blind people to learn and indeed touch the stars, that we present Noreen Grice with an award in the amount of $5,000. Noreen?
As many of you know, I'm a sighted member of the National Federation of the Blind, and I'm an active member of the NFB Central Connecticut chapter. I became associated with NFB when I first walked through the doors of the national headquarters in January 2002 as part of a meeting to discuss the publication of my first NASA book, Touch the Universe, a NASA Braille Book of Astronomy. Touch the Universe was unveiled later that year at NFB headquarters, and I attended my first national convention in Louisville in 2003. This year is my 6th national convention. Yay. I am an astronomy educator who believes that accessibility should be as common as a leaf on a tree or the breeze of a summer day. I work very hard to make my educational materials and programs accessible and interesting for all people, regardless of their visual ability. The funds from this award will help me create new universally designed educational materials. Thank you for your confidence in my work. I won't let you down.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you so very much. Thank you.
Ooh, that's the best hug I've had all day.
Thank you. I got a hug out of that one. Whoa. Our next recipient has devoted much of her life helping in her calm, quiet way to build and strengthen what we share together in the National Federation of the Blind. She has been active in the states of Ohio and New Mexico for more than 40 years, has been a state president and a longtime leader in New Mexico, and has helped to recruit, nurture, and bring to leadership the likes of Joe Cordoba, Art Schreiber, Elmo Vigil, Greg Trapp, and Fred Schroeder, just to mention a few. Everything we do depends on grassroots support, and our recipient is a master at building and sustaining it. With pleasure, we present a Blatton Award in the amount of $5,000 to Linda Miller of New Mexico.
I am so proud of all of you and so grateful, because of all the confidence and tools that I have obtained from the National Federation of the Blind, I was able to make a difference, not only in other people's lives, but for myself, my family. Nina Miller is right in the audience. She just came in 10 minutes ago from Frederick, Maryland. And I'd like to thank Mary Ellen Ryan and Robert Etchbach from Ohio, who first introduced me to the National Federation of the Blind. And I'd like to may mention that Dr. Jernigan and Mrs. Jernigan were always there, ready to help us. I called up and asked for help, and he sends Mark Maurer, Diane McGeorge, and we worked together, all of us over there. Pauline Gomez, they were all able to just put me to work right away, and I appreciate their confidence and their opportunity to do what I did and what we need to do. And Fred Schroeder and Joe Cordova were always there right by me, working as hard and probably harder than I did. So thank you very much.
Thank you so very much. Congratulations, Linda. Our final recipient, like many recognized this afternoon, is in the business of disseminating information. Through his creativity, his knowledge of human nature, and his keen understanding of blindness, our honoree forces blind and sighted people alike to take on and answer the hard questions blindness can bring. Can the blind work competitively alongside the sighted? Can we function comfortably in social situations? Can we shovel snow, mow our lawns, and take on house repairs? When we go to a doctor and talk about stress in our lives, can we get him to go beyond the fact that we are blind? The simple answer to these questions is yes. The more thought-provoking answer says yes and explains how. With tremendous gratitude for all he does, we proudly present our final award in the amount of $5,000 to Robert Leslie Newman in This we do in support of the thought provoker in its role in bettering the lives of the blind. Robert, congratulations.
Thank you. That's so
wonderful. Here is your award, sir.
Very handsome.
All right. You bet it is. Go for it.
Okay, let's see. Where is this?
Right there.
All right. I've just kind of taken a reading. I've always wondered what it would sound like and feel like from up here, and it sounds good. So you guys have heard of thought provoker, is that right?
Yeah!
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, because there's so many of you out there that have, I think many of you have helped me to make it a success. You know, there's just so much that we have to face, you know, as in being blind in today's society, and this organization really does an awful lot to help us as individuals, you know, to deal with those issues that come up. And that's what a thought provoker is. It's just a creative little way, in 100 words to 700 words, I encapsulate a little issue of blindness and that I put it out there on the internet. I sent it out to some of the people that are on the Thought Provoker list. I put it on the mailing list. It's on my website. And people respond, and I collect those responses, and I put them up for people to read and to learn. And it's been fun. It truly has been fun. It's been very rewarding to find that they're being used, Thought Provoker is being used around the country in various settings, from some of our own NFB training centers for group discussion and counseling. I know that there are rehab agencies around the country that use them, again, for counseling and or to train new staff. I know that there are some college programs that make, you know, that website, those Thought Provokers, assigned writing. But I'm not doing anything more, you guys. I really feel humble when I say this, than so many of the rest of you, because that's one thing that we do in this organization, we always give back. And this is just how I've been able to give back in our movement to change what it means to be blind. So you all keep doing what you're doing, and I'll keep doing what I'm doing.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. You take good care.
All right.
Enjoy that award.
Thank you.
What you have heard here about our most deserving winners has necessarily been abbreviated and brief. So you and the world can know more about them, we have created a small book dedicated to their lives and their work. Mr. President, I want to close by thanking the Santa Barbara Foundation for selecting the National Federation of the Blind to administer the Dr. Jacob Balaton Award program established by the Alfred and Rosalind Perlman Trust. I urge that anyone who hasn't already read the book do so. It is called The Blind Doctor, and I know that sales of the book further the endowment of this award. Biographies of blind people can sometimes be an uncomfortable experience for those of us who know something about blindness, but I promise you will find this a first-class read, and you will recognize in the character of Dr. Jacob Balaton a kindred spirit whose life was all about changing what it means to be blind. Lastly, sir, please allow me to recognize and thank for their work in creating the standards for the Balaton Award Committee, for reading the many, many applications we received, and for selecting our winners for 2008, Mr. Ronald Brown and Mrs. Mary Ellen Jernigan. Good day to you, sir, and congratulations to the Dr. Jacob Balaton Award winners for 2008.